You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more. Today on our show, we're talking with Frank Zadlow. He's in Brooklyn right now. Frank, thanks so much for talking with me today.
Hi, Brainerd. Thanks for having me on.
So, Frank, I want to talk about your work and upcoming shows, what you're preparing for. But maybe we should begin with the Mass MoCA residency you had there. Wasn't it a kind of a residency that you did there this year?
Yeah, it was a 2-week residency back in the beginning of November, and it was it's called Assets for Artists. It's sort of an affiliated program with the museum, and it was their first season of residencies. They've done some work with artists in the community before, but this is their first time having artists work in spaces at the museum facility. So I was really excited to be a part of what they have going on there, and it's really great. I mean, everything, the museum is a gem, and I got a ton of work done. It was my first residency, and it was just
how is it structured? Because they're all so different. How did they set it up, and you applied for that through an application, or you?
It was an open application. I received an email from Blair Benjamin, the director. I guess I ended up on his list somehow, and it's a no fee application, which is great. Every artist that's listening should apply. And you get a private studio, 24-hour access, and a apartment across the street from the museum, and one meal a day. They do 1 week, 2 week, and month long residencies. So I stayed for 2 weeks, and the timing of it was really perfect because I have a show coming up in January, so I was able to just get out of the city and focus on some projects that I knew I wanted to work on for the show without any of, you know, the distractions of regular life, which is awesome.
Well, that's great. So I want to move on to that, but just to talk a little bit more about the residency, how was the apartment and what else happened at the residency? Because that's the whole thing with residencies, right? Sometimes the housing is awful and, you know, so I'm just curious.
They nailed it. It was all newly renovated apartments, stocked kitchen. You know, they gave you coffee, and which is really the most important thing, right?
Right.
There's laundry there. There was a common space. Everything was clean. It was great.
And how was the studio environment? Was there more people that you met there, or was it just sort of like solitary time in the studio? Or?
That's the way I approached it. Yeah, it wasn't a social event for me, just because I have the show coming up, so I was really there to hunker down. And
that's great. So they didn't have these kind of like collector events where people come by and tour all the studios or anything like that.
No, it was very informal. I was one of 8 artists there, and we had, you know, one gathering a week that was organized, but other than that, it was. Everyone was left to their own devices, more or less.
Well, that's cool. And what was that one gathering a week? What was that, just for the artists, or?
We walked around the studios so everyone could see what everyone else was working on. Because, you know, some people were only there for a week, and then after my first week was up, most of the people left. So each week, I guess there was this gathering in the studio so everyone could see what everyone else was doing. So it was nice to share and get some feedback and whatnot.
But yeah, I would imagine that in itself is sort of, I mean, it's kind of cool that this is your first residency too, to talk about it, but that's kind of just seeing other work and the context that you're in, I think, is kind of important. Like PS1 did that for a while. I mean, a lot of sort of museums, alternative spaces have versions of this, but this one sounds like it was good, and that you were meeting interesting people. What were the other artists there like?
It's their first season, so I don't know where they'll go from here, but the way they're formatted now, I was really pleased with it. There were some other interesting artists there that were working on various projects, installation, painting, some video. I was there to do a video piece. I think there was one other lady there who was working on the video. And she was from Brooklyn. It was only her and myself that were from Brooklyn. I think the majority of the other people there were from the New England area. So I don't. So they pulled from a regional pool while I was there to start, I suppose. But I don't know. I believe the week before I came, there was someone from Oregon, maybe. So I think they want to broaden their pool, maybe. So
this is their first year. I didn't realize that. That's why it's so everything is just being done there for the first time.
Yeah. I mean, that area, North Adams, is with the Berkshires and the town of North Adams is I've never been there, and the museum itself is something everyone should go visit, of course. The Jim Shaw show there, I mean, he has one at the New Museum now that's, I hear, is amazing, but I saw his retrospective at Mass MoCA, which is equally amazing, I can imagine. There's a Francesco Clemente show that was awesome there. The Saul LeWitt permanent or semi-permanent, I think it's like there for 30 years. It's great.
Yeah, it's an amazing space. So tell me, so then what were you doing there? I want to talk about your current show and what you were making, but, you know, as kind of an entryway into that, what were you making in the studio there, in the residency, and how did you approach it? Yeah, what were you working on?
I didn't want to. The show that I'm working towards in January at Victory and Moe Gallery in Bushwick in Brooklyn, it's sort of centered around these large sculptural works that are cast cement. I knew I wasn't going to do any casting sculptural work at the residency because of space and just materials and weight, things like that. So I also have a video practice and a drawing practice, works on paper. So those two areas of practice, in the past year or so, the videos work specifically, I haven't had much time to focus on. So I really wanted to use the 2 weeks to focus on making one or two videos for the show. And fortunately, I did it. I guess if you go to a residency or you go somewhere to work, you hope to make the work, but sometimes you might not. might not work out. But fortunately, it did work out, and I'm really pleased with the piece that I made. One video piece, the piece that came out of it, and
I want to talk about that. But let me just ask you about the elements in the show. So in the show, is there? Just correct me if I'm wrong. There's works on paper. There's video. And then there's cast cement work also in the show?
Yeah, for a few years, a couple of years, I made the first one in 2013. I've been making these landscapes, is how I like to think of them, that are in a square form. They're about the size of an average sidewalk square, and they hang on the wall, and they're about maybe 3 inches thick. 2.5 inches to be exact. And so I'm going to have three of these in the show. They're heavy. So, transporting them is a consideration and sort of like something I have to coordinate. So there's going to be those three pieces. And
so let's just talk about that for a second. So those are kind of, they're very heavy. What is the, I mean, I see them online, and the viewers will have also links to them, the listeners, rather, who are, looking at the web post afterwards. But what is the size of those, and how heavy is each one?
They're all 52 and a half inches square, so a little over 4 feet square. And they vary in weight. I mean, they're not solid cement, but they have a backing. But they're each 150 pounds to maybe 300 pounds in range. The weight range is within that range. And I mean, the weight is very much a part of it. My intention, when I first started working with cement, I mean, 5 years ago, I was looking for ways to make the material feel light and to sort of belie the inherent nature of the material. You know, it's heavy, it's solid, it's, you know, it's rock. And I wanted to make it sort of feel floating and light. And that's how the top portion of all of them have this sheen to them. They're shiny, and they reflect. So they don't really feel necessarily like cement at first when you approach them. But as you get closer, there's sort of like these visual indications of concrete that we recognize, whether it's cracking or grains of sand or something like that, that start to appear and present themselves. And then you sort of realize that this thing's cement, and it's probably very heavy, and it has weight. And then you sort of see that it looks like a landscape with a, you know, it's just square form with a horizontal line bisecting it, and, you know, a very minimal landscape, sort of approaching landscape as abstraction. And, yeah. So
right, but that's interesting. So you're also feeling, I mean, in talking about cement that way and the weight of it and getting a sense of the size of it, when you look at one of these pieces or when the viewer does, that's part of the experience, it sounds like, is the physicality of it and our associations with cement, which is heavy and earthen in a way.
Yeah. I mean, there's an immediate relationship to cement on a daily basis that I have, that we all have, whether we're aware of it or not, of course. And so I want to, that's sort of my first intention with using that material is to approach it as something special that's not just like, you know, the sidewalk that we walk on or the foundation of the buildings that we all inhabit, because it is so ubiquitous. So, I want to sort of bring it in my studio and run it through my filter and not just be, you know, this fake rock that we pour everywhere, but have it be something with a little more mystery in it, maybe. And so that's what the top portions are hopefully getting at. They're all titled Ghostings 1, 2, 3, and 4. I'm only going to show three of them. The third one's not making it in, or the second one's not making it in. But in concrete construction, there's this phenomena of ghosting where you can have interior structures or processes sort of show up in the surface of a cure slab.
You mean like the forms that are being used when they're made of wood? Sometimes you see the knots in the plywood or the strips of the wood in the exterior of the cement, kind of thing.
Exactly, and that it can take that form. It can also take in visual form the material sort of frozen in the act of drying, and so I feel like that's just like this great metaphor in general, and so applying that to something like landscape and, you know, sort of extending that into a metaphor of contemporary landscape or something like that is very interesting to me. And contrasting an upper portion comprised of a material creating these visual sort of textures and manifestations with a lower portion that is a texture that I've constructed and is a relief of, you know, the cement is pulling up the relief of that texture that I made. So a contrast gesture to from the top and bottom and sky and ground. So it brings up a lot of, it brings up a lot of like things that get me excited and interesting, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. And then it's, I mean, it's amazing kind of material really. And on so many levels. So tell me what else is going to be in the show. You said three of those pieces total, and then there's video work and also work on paper.
Yeah, I do these drawings. I call them studies for the large cast pieces. They're in the same formal setup of a square bisected by a horizontal line to create a minimal landscape. But I use gouache. I use very watery gouache to make them. I just tape out the square and the where the horizon line is. And they're not like studies in a traditional sense where I'm drawing what will be, then become a large sculpture. You know, I'm going to make this little drawing into something very big. They're more studies of how to interact with the material, specifically like a viscous material. With the drawings, it's gouache. In the sculptures, it's cement. So in the drawings, I sort of like manipulate them physically, turning them upside down. The ones that I worked on at my residency in Mass Boca, I started working on the drawings on the floor, which is more in line with the casting process. And I was laying objects from the immediate environment there at North Adams into the drying gouache to create these visual impressions. So they're sort of and starting to incorporate.
Yeah, that sounds related to the cement in a way, and the ghosting almost, right?
Yeah, very much so. It's sort of like it's like this feedback thing where I've only made 4 of these sculptures, but I see sort of things happening that the material does, and I might try to do something like that in the drawings, and then that might become something else in the next casting I make. I might work that into it, you know. So they're sort of I'm playing around with an idea of studies in terms of large scale sculpture. But they're informing each other at the same time, which is nice, I think. It's not one side.
Cool. Well, yeah. It seems like, you know, sort of like sculptures, prints kind of thing, you know.
Yeah.
The same kind of physicality and tactile quality as well as even ideas are going into these prints as opposed to looking at it like a very two-dimensional medium, it sounds like.
Yeah. There's a large conversation with painting too, you know. Everything's sort of hanging on the wall, which obviously connects it to painting. I'm using gouache, a viscous material. But they're sculpture, you know, first and foremost, I think. And
yeah, it sounds like it. And so then there's the last element, which, you know, I mean, all kind of relate. The video, right,
yeah.
That's the last element. Tell us about, like, what you were making there, what the attention was, and maybe a little bit about what the video is, if you can describe it.
I use the same formal structure of a square bisected by a horizontal line, but I used, typically in my videos, I use appropriated footage and in a collage sort of way, a minimalist collage sort of way, where I'm not really focusing on meaning or, you know, like what it means to put this image next to this image. And that sort of comes out of some connection that I might find that is across line or arrangement or orientation. This time I've separated it. I've used that structure of, you know, the sky and the ground, the two quadrants, to place different images of constant movement. So the idea behind the video was to invert something that I felt is happening in the sculptures and the drawings, where there's this material frozen in the act of drying. And the video, I wanted to feel like it was still, but be constantly moving. So I recorded footage on my phone, either of me moving across a landscape in close-up or of some material moving constantly, typically water in close-up. And I joined that with appropriated footage I pulled offline from the Internet Archive of Earth and of space, old NASA footage, mostly old NASA footage. So there's this contrast of technologies and also of vantage points of landscape, within a landscape. And the presentation of it, it's like 4.5 minutes. It feels very musical to me. I tried to make it feel musical. It has these sort of crescendos and dips, you know, and it builds and slows. And it has a little bit of a narrative, but not much. And it loops. And I feel like it's sort of like this thing that you can space out to, like you can just sit there and watch it, because there's this constant movement. And so it does make me not move. It makes me still when I watch it. And then the presentation of it, which is always something that, you know, video gets to that, you know, if the way I work.
Right. Is it projected or enclosed or that kind of thing, you mean, right? Exactly how is it seen?
Yeah, it becomes a very material process, right? Because if someone like me who makes video purely digitally using digital files, there's no really object except for the computer and the desk and, you know, myself in the chair. And then I have the piece of art, which is a digital file. And then to present it, it becomes this whole thing. You know, you have to consider, I feel like I have to consider every piece of it, the presentation. You know, whereas with a painting or, you know, my drawings, just like you put them on the wall.
Right.
So I wanted to have it be sort of raw or rougher around the edges. The other work in the show is there's a lot of like clean edges. It's all very refined and it's kind of like sharp looking, I think. So the video, I wanted it to be, it's sort of, this position is going to be kind of tucked away. So you don't see it right away, but once you do, it's sort of like maybe a little bit of a discovery in its position in the gallery. And it's presented on a raw tablet screen, you know, with the screws hanging out and, you know, no pretty border around it. And it's mounted onto a found shipping crate that's then mounted on the wall, which to me is like this funny thing. And sort of a nod towards the materiality of the exhibition of video, where it becomes, you know, like I was just saying, this thing where you have to like think about all these objects to play this non-material thing. So putting it onto a dirty shipping crate, sort of like a in joke for myself, I guess, but.
Okay.
It also connects back into this metaphor of ghosting within the larger works, the sculpture works on the wall, of, you know, unseen or hidden processes or structures at work to create the thing that you're looking at. So, you know, presenting a screen without the adornments of the iPad or whatever, or the Samsung tablets or whatever.
Right.
Showing the screws, showing the shipping crate, which is like this other process of you know, art presentation and the process that I had to go through. Just connecting that to this larger theme of ghosting, of that metaphor. It's something I was looking to do. It's sort of, the video has become sort of like this keystone piece, I feel like, for the whole show, where it sort of ties together, connects to these other larger themes that I'm hoping to bring up, or I hope that do come up with the work. You know, that's outside of their immediate materiality, and, you know, there's large sculpture, there's small drawings, there's a video, right?
Right.
But I hope that, like, as a whole, all the work, you know, brings up these themes or make you think about that stuff. So, and that's it. I mean, it's not a huge show.
Well, so this show is coming up soon, though. But, well, I mean, that's a show that, you know, a lot of thought and work has gone into. I mean, to talk a little bit about the show before we close the interview,
As the show comes together, what aspects of this, or how do you think of the marketplace? In other words, you know, are some of these pieces going to sell more than others? Do you expect work on paper to sell or not, or the videos to sell or not? Or how do you see that part of the process, or how does the gallery see that part of the process? Because they want to get it into good collections or whatever it is that you want, I would imagine.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think as a large sculpture goes, anytime, I mean, it's the prints, the drawings that are more immediately accessible to collectors. So there'll be a range of selected drawings framed and hung on the wall. But I have you know, so many of those that I hope people take an interest in those. And I sort of feel like the work will, or I hope that, you know, the work will, you know, the drawings will lead you towards the sculptures and make you consider those as what they are and vice versa, you know, and then also the videos, this thing that connects all of the work together. In terms of like the sculptures existing, it's an endeavor that I've decided to take upon, you know, a couple of years ago, working with such large work, just sort of blindly jumping into it. You know, it's kind of a commitment to work at that scale in this city, in Brooklyn. I'm fortunate enough to have a space that can accommodate it at a reasonable price. I know that's not like the reality for a lot of other artists in the city. So, moving them and just dealing with them is a thing. But it's something that I figured out, and it's sort of like caveman technology, really, how to lift heavy things. You know, it's like I came up with these ideas, or this idea of the structure to lift these things from these deadbolts at the top, and then I realized I was building a gantry, and you know, there's like the technology of a gantry is sort of like everywhere that you look, you know, and all the docks and the shipping yards and everything. So and on bridges. So they would look good anywhere, I think.
Of course, and so how do you? I mean, obviously, this is what you're doing most of the time. Are you also doing other work? And how do you see the future of your work and growth in New York? You'd like to not work other jobs, or are you working other jobs now?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that's the reality of all of us, for the most part. Is I have a freelance editing practice that pays for my studio, pays for, you know, a lot of stuff. So it's sort of like a simultaneous thing of doing this commercial work, and which allows me to make the time and space for my personal work, my artwork. And the idea is that the work that I'm doing in my studio is substantial enough and valid enough to continue to make and put out into the world, and that's what I will be known for. It's a balance. It's always, you know, it's always a balance, because, you know, it's a fickle thing, right?
Right.
So,
yeah, absolutely.
So I just sort of, you know, I keep going. I keep all my pots stirring. I try to, you know.
That's good.
Yeah.
Well, it's an exciting show that's coming up. It sounds like a great group of work together. In closing, why don't you just tell us where this is coming out in November, or rather December 2015. So maybe just mention where the show is. There'll also be a link to it in websites in this interview, but maybe just to plug it a little bit, tell people where it'll be and when.
Yeah, of course. It opens January 8th at Victory and Moe Gallery. It's in the Bogart Building in Bushwick, right off the Morgan stop on the L, first floor. And it'll be up for through the month of January and February, I believe, and the 8th is a Friday. And then, you know, they're open Thursday through Sunday and by appointment.
Cool. I wish you good luck with that. I'll come down and see it. And thanks so much for talking with me today. I really appreciate your time.
Thanks so much for having me on, Brandon.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.